Please join me in the office of Compline, and you'll find the versicles in Gloria Patri on page 128. The Lord Almighty grant us a quiet night and peace at the last. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Restore us again, O God of our salvation, and put away your anger toward us. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, forevermore. Amen. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, I have sinned against you through my own fault, in thought, word, and deed. For the sake of the suffering, death, and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on me, forgive me all my sin, and bring me to everlasting life. Amen.
Who were full have hired children has become feeble. The Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and brings up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and lifts up. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the beggar from the ash heap to set them among princes and make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. He will guard the feet of his saints, but the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength no man shall prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken in pieces. From heaven he will thunder against them. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, forever. Amen.
You may be seated for our scripture reading. This evening is taken from the writing to the Hebrews, the 11th chapter, beginning with the 13th verse. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. A number of years ago, when I was at a large church meeting, there was a missionary who happened to be present, who was from a foreign land, and he got up to speak about the work that he was doing, and he described some of the persecution that the congregation was facing, the church that he served, and how difficult that was. And something I noticed in the assembly that day, there were probably 300-400 people there as he began to talk. And that was how quiet it got when he suddenly started to talk about all of the fearful things that they were having to face with physical persecution, which very few of us here in this country have ever had to face for our faith. Not too many years ago, right on this campus, in a religion class, the subject of persecution came up, and I just asked a class of 30 students or so, have any of you ever had to face physical persecution for your faith? And nobody raised their hand, but finally in the back row, a young man raised his hand. He was from Ukraine. And he went on to talk about how two of his grandparents had been put to death by the state because of their association and work with the church. And when he started describing that, the mood in that classroom changed dramatically. There was a whole different feel, you might say, to how everybody was listening. In the very early church, it was often customary to have stories of martyrdom and persecution read right in the services, the way we think of the Old Testament and Epistle and Gospel lesson and so on. There was often a special reading of the lives of the martyrs of the saints. And the purpose of this was to encourage those who were there. There's something that intrigues us and also strengthens us when we hear about the faith of others and the things that they have had to face throughout their lives, sometimes even giving up their very lives for the sake of their faith in Christ. The text before us from the 11th chapter of Hebrews is found right about in the middle of the chapter that's often referred to as the Heroes of Faith chapter. And in this chapter, it lists off all of these various believers from the Old Testament: Abel and Enoch, Noah and his family, Abraham and Sarah. Following the text that we have, we hear about Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses, the children of Israel, the prophets, and so on. And all of this is written in a way describing many of the difficult things that they went through, and yet that their faith hung in there through all of these things. This was all written to encourage us in our faith as well. And so God would have us learn some things from this chapter and from the lives of faith of his saints. First of all, this: don't expect to see evidence of God's working right now in this world. Don't expect to see empirical evidence and things that we can touch when it comes to the promises of God. Listen to our text. All of these people he's describing died in faith, not having received the promises. The NIV translates it, the things that were promised. So they did not receive the things that were promised, but having seen them afar off, they were assured of them. In this life, we really don't get to see the actual fulfillment of all the things that we hold on to most dearly about our faith. They don't become obvious to us. Sometimes we wish that we could have real evidence of God's presence and of who God is and of the things of the kingdom of God. We wish there were some concrete things that we could grab onto, that we could hold up in front of other people and say, look at this. See, now you got to believe. Sometimes we say to ourselves, I wish God would just come down from heaven and show everybody who he is. I wish he'd rip open the clouds of the sky so that we could actually see heaven, that golden city glimmering in the up above. I wish there was a way that we could have proof of this. I wish that the resurrected Christ would come back from the dead and show up right here in our community and walk around with the scars still on his hands and show himself, so everybody could see who it is. I wish God would make it obvious to my senses and the senses of everyone around me that this is all so real and that he's really here and he's really in control. That's how sometimes we tend to think. And because God has chosen not to operate that way, how often our own sinful flesh maybe struggles with trusting the very promises that God has given to us. How often do we maybe whisper to ourselves, you know, is all of this really worth it? Is hanging on to all of this and believing in all of this really worth it? Am I maybe just an idiot for my entire life for banking on this, for putting my hope in this and for looking forward to something that I really have no proof over? What if God doesn't even exist? What if this whole thing is one big sham and hoax, and I've been buying into it? And how the world loves to needle us with that same type of thinking. How the world loves to goad us on and to ridicule us and mock us and make fun of us for holding on to something that we really can't see. St. Paul said it so well to the Corinthians. God has chosen the foolish things of the world, the despised things, and the things that are not, to nullify the things that are. God has chosen the foolish things of the world, the things that the world looks at and thinks are ridiculous, water and words and bread and wine and the office of the ministry, things that are ridiculed and laughed at by the world, but God chooses these lowly things to have his kingdom of grace brought to us. And so the first passage in this chapter 11 of Hebrews says it so well. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. That's the essence of faith. It's being sure of what we hope for because of Christ and his work, and it's being positive of something that we can't see. It's being certain that it's real, that it's true, that it matters, that I need to have it, I need to possess it, even though I can't see it. And this is what faith is all about. And isn't it comforting for us to know that the gift of faith in our hearts, even when it's small and weak, like mine so often is, even that little gift of faith that grabs onto God's promises that the world laughs at, but that little faith inside of us is the work of God. It is of divine origin. It's not of man's origin. That's very comforting. The Holy Spirit himself is the one who has worked it in us, the Bible says, and continues to sustain it inside of us. That faith that holds on to what Christ did on the cross, that grabs on to his resurrection and says, I need that. That's my only hope of heaven. That loves the fact that our sins are forgiven in his blood. All of that is because of the work of God. And whenever faith latches on to the promises that God has given us, that precious, wonderful work is what God looks at in this world as being of the greatest significance. Even when our reason tells us otherwise, even when our senses say it doesn't make sense, even when there's no real empirical proof of it at all, when faith clings to the Word of God, this is what the Lord loves to see in his faithful. We see that with Noah. Think about what God told Noah to do in his family, to dedicate dozens of years of his life, decades, to build this boat out in the middle of nowhere where there was no water around. No actual proof did he see during the construction of this at all. All he had was the promise from God. Think of all the challenges he probably faced during that construction period. Abraham and Sarah had been told about the birth of their son Isaac, even in their old age. Were told that when those visitors came and announced about Isaac's birth, that Sarah looked at it according to the eyes of reason, knowing how old she was and well beyond childbearing, and she turned inside of the corner of the tent and laughed. That's the natural response in us so often when we would think of what God says to us. And yet, by faith, God caused the two of them still to believe and to trust. And the Lord certainly brought that young boy into their life, though it took many years. This gift of faith also causes us to view our place in this life and our lot in this life as if we really don't actually belong here. Our text talks about that, that those who look at life by faith, they desire and seek a homeland, and it talks about them as if they were longing for a different country. The concept of a pilgrimage, looking at life as being sojourners here in this world. We're told in the same chapter about Joseph. Remember the great story of Joseph, how he was taken into slavery into Egypt, and yet God had him rise up to be the second in command under the Pharaoh. Think of all the power and the luxury that he probably enjoyed. Egypt was at its probably the peak of its empire and so on. And here was Joseph probably living a very lavish lifestyle. His family finally comes to him, remember the story and so on. And yet what's interesting is knowing that his family would someday maybe be turned into slaves right there and have to make the great exodus back to the land of Canaan, to the promised land. Here was Joseph in all of the wealth that he was now enjoying in Egypt and all of the prestige and power. And yet he says to his people, when you leave here and go back to the homeland, make sure that you take my bones along. Dig me up and take my bones back to the homeland. What was he saying there? As great as this world may be for me with all the money and wealth that I can live in here in Egypt, I still want to be identified with God's church, his faithful. Even though they be slaves and runaway slaves at that, I want to belong with them. And I want to go back to the country, the poor country that he has promised them. What a picture of how God's faithful in this world. Maybe can at times be blessed with various gifts and earthly wealth and prosperity and whatever it might be. But our hearts are truly with the church. Our hearts are with God's people and desire a better country than anything we can ever have here in this world. Even if it means having to be taken through poverty. Jacob, the father of Joseph, stood before Pharaoh and declared to him that his life was nothing but a pilgrimage. And that's how it is for God's faithful in this world. So faith also, by God's working in us, causes us to look forward to this better country. Listen to our text again. Now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. And then I just love this passage. Listen to it closely. God is not ashamed to be called their God. Isn't that great? That shows how wonderful grace is in Christ. We would think, based on how sinful we are, God would be ashamed of us. But because of Christ, we are now holy saints before him. God is not ashamed to be called their God. Just think what that means for you. And he has prepared a city for them. Just think what that city must look like. At the end of this great chapter of Hebrews 11, God again goes through some of the great difficult things that his faithful in this world have had to face. I'm just going to list off some of them. Listen to these verses. They were tortured and refused to be released. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. And then I love this. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and in holes in the ground. Listen to a great little paragraph from Luther about faith and God's faithful in this world and how they just hold on to his promises no matter what. He says, "So it goes with all who hold firmly only to the word of God. They close their eyes and ears against the devil, the world, and themselves, and act as if they and God were the only ones in heaven and on earth." The author of Hebrews connects all of this ancient history and all of these believers in the ancient church to you right here tonight in 2011 when he says this. "These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what they had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us they would be made perfect. Be faithful unto death, the Lord says to you, and I will give you the crown of life." Amen. We continue with the final two verses of our hymn. Please rise as we conclude with the responsory, the collect, and the canticle. Into your hands, O Lord, I commend my spirit, for you have redeemed me, O Lord, God of truth. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. Into your hands, O Lord, I commend my spirit. Keep us, O Lord, as the apple of your eye. Hide us under the shadow of your wings. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. O Lord, hear my prayer, and let my cry come to you. O Lord, visit this dwelling and drive far from it all snares of the enemy. Let your holy angels dwell with us to preserve us in peace. And may your blessing be upon us evermore through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Preserve us, O Lord, while waking, and guard us while sleeping, that awake we may watch with Christ, and asleep we may rest in peace. Lord, now you let your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel. Preserve us, O Lord, while waking, and guard us while sleeping, that awake we may watch with Christ, and asleep we may rest in peace. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Almighty and merciful Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve us. Amen.